From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, we're talking about National Poetry Month, a nod to our friends in the literary world that started back in the mid-90s. We're joined by Lancaster's second poet laureate and award-winning writer Dinah Savage, along with our friends from The Triangle, Tyler Barton and Aaron Dorney. Those folks have put together a comprehensive list of poetry-related events happening around central Pennsylvania in April, and we're going to talk about what National Poetry Month means to them.
I would say, like, I usually know it's National Poetry Month because the American Library Association sends out a free poetry poster in their magazine. So whenever I get that, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's National Poetry Month.
It works. That's exactly why they do that.
Yeah, it's like bingo, light bulb. And yeah. So then I just start, like, then my attention is aroused and I just see, like, poetry stuff everywhere after that.
Coming up, it's Aaron and Tyler from The Triangle, along with poet Dinah Savage, who gives us the skinny on the Lancaster Spoken Word Festival. That's happening at the end of April. And if that's not enough, it's time to get out. Today we welcome Steve Carlson back to the program for a look at what's going on in the Lancaster visual arts scene and his picks for what to check out this upcoming First Friday, April 4th. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. We're talking about a lot of great events coming up in Lancaster and around the Central PA poetry world a little bit later in the program, so I wanted to mention what's sure to be a fantastic night of music coming up at the Midtown Scholar Bookstore in Harrisburg this Friday, April 4th. It's Indian Summer Jars and Des Sirois, two outstanding bands from York and Harrisburg, respectively, for a free show that gets started at 8 p.m. So for our friends in the Harrisburg area, you don't want to miss Indian Summer Jars and Des Sirois at Midtown Scholar Bookstore, Friday, February 4th, 8 o'clock. And since words are the focus of today's show, on Saturday, April 5th, my guests Aaron and Tyler from The Triangle are hosting a free creative writing workshop at the Lancaster Public Library from 1 to 2:30 p.m. The library is at 125 North Duke Street in downtown Lancaster, so get over there on Saturday at 1 p.m. for your own jumpstart into National Poetry Month. It's time to get out with Steve Carlson, especially this upcoming First Friday right here in Lancaster. Steve is a writer and teacher who produces theater with the Wood Stove House and also serves on the board of Creative Works of Lancaster. He's also a local art enthusiast, and he joins us each month with his picks for places to visit and art openings to check out on First Friday right here in downtown Lancaster. It's time to get out on Around the Wood Stove. Steve, I'm ready to get out.
Sweet. I've been waiting to say that all day. The weather is turning, and it's time to get out First Friday in April. And we've got some places lined up for you to check out, listening audience. And the first is Dogstar Books. So we haven't featured Dogstar Books yet on the two previous installments of this, but they have a wonderful gallery in the back. Used bookstore, you can peruse all the books there. Brian Fraley and his team have a great space. And for the month of April, they have Jason Ward, and he's a painter. Does still lifes, and he's, if you like David Stallings' work, who's been up there also, he's a Lancaster guy, you're gonna like this stuff. It's nice and refreshing to see some really well-executed painting. Still lifes, they're alive, but they're not moving. It seems like so much of what you see out there right now, everybody's trying to make it move and vibrant and shake and all that stuff, and this is just, they're still lifes. They're not moving.
They're Jason, right there.
They're right there. And they're really cool. He's from New Jersey, and he's been invited to do a show there at Dogstar, and that'll definitely be worth checking out in the month of April. They're open from 4 to 8. The reception's from 4 to 8. They're open earlier in the day for
the
bookstore
books,
business and stuff. And they're at 401 West Lemon Street.
Nice.
So that's could be a nice entry way. You can, if you're walking from the West End over there, you can come in that way. And then further down towards Prince on Walnut, 241 West Walnut is a new gallery. Wendy Wells has been there for a couple months. She's converted a residence. It's one of those 1.5-story residences there into an art studio gallery. She has some music space. She wants to spin up some kind of art greet, get together, co-op kind of feel in the back when the weather gets going. But she works, and she does multimedia work. She does some textile work. She's got a show that she's developing right now for the spring, but she has work that's hanging there all the time in her space there. And she is a very energetic woman who's been doing art for a while, and she really wants to spin some stuff up there on West Walnut Street, just down from, what is that, West End Yoga.
Okay.
And she'll have a show in the summer where she's going to do, you know, the revolution as a theme. She's going to do a doll show in the spring. And she's open for all sorts of projects and stuff. She's hoping to connect with some people over there and to get some interesting things happening over at her space. And her space is Elemental, and it's capital letters LMNTL, Elemental Art Studio Gallery, and that's at 241 West Walnut Street. She's open till 6 on Fridays. At this point, when the weather gets nicer, she'll be doing some stuff. And she's invited us to do a yarn bomb on her front tree there in front. So that's something to look out for, too, in the future. So we'll hopefully get that going.
But for this first Friday, she'll just be there till 6?
She'll be there till 6 this first Friday. Really interesting person. Her band, you know, played CBGBs in the day. And she's been doing art for a long time, and is an awesome resource, not only from the artistic standpoint and in the life of an artist, but she's also been connected with, you know, creating a co-op in Virginia and grant writing and all that stuff. A wonderful resource for people in town.
Yeah, it's excellent.
So then from there, I'm going to talk about Mulberry Art Studio. And what you have there is Tim and Christy Neese, a husband and wife team. They are publishing a book. It's a children's book, and it features some animals that don't often get their day in the sun for a book that's entitled What About Me? A to Z. And the artwork for the book are large animal paintings that are done by Tim. Tim is a lead muralist up at Atomic, and his work has been featured with bands such as Ozzy Osbourne, Motley Crue,
nice.
And also the Metropolitan Opera. So,
well, those three usually run in packs. Yeah. The Ozzy, Motley Crue, and
he's got some architectural work probably behind him, and some pentagrams or penta whatever those things are. So that'll be kind of cool. The paintings are big, like I said. And apparently he painted these in his studio. They were all up on the wall, and he was kind of doing this maestro thing where he'd paint one for a while, run over here and paint the kangaroo or echidna or whatever he's got going on. And that should be an interesting show down at Mulberry Art Studio, and that's 21 North Mulberry Street. And that reception is from 5 to 9. They also have a reception on Sunday, April 6th. From 1 to 5 p.m.
And, excellent.
Christy isn't quite sure if she's going to, you know, sit down and do a read or something like that, but they'll be on hand to show their book off and the paintings that Tim's done in support of that. And then finally, we've mentioned Sunshine Art and Design down there on the first block of West King, but today we'll look at Community Room on King, which is also, it's a meeting space, and they do some music there and some community events, and they also have a gallery. And they're gonna be featuring the work of Stefan Gamboni. And he does some collage work, kind of intricate work there with some faces and some newsprint and different colored elements.
Is he local?
He's a local guy. And he shows up at Annex 24 regularly. Annex 24 has a variety of artists that are up there on walls and have their 3D pieces there. And he shows up there, both his pieces that hang, wall hangings and three-dimensional pieces, furniture and lamps and things like that. And so he's going to be there, and he's got some interesting stuff, kind of a broad range of themes and feelings that he'll be presenting. And like I said, intricate collage work. And then he's got quite a run coming up here. He'll be in at Annex 24, which is on West Walnut, just like Elemental is. and he has some wall and furniture stuff up there. And then in June, he's going to be in their Wowzer room, and he'll have some guitars and canvases there. And perhaps we'll have an opportunity to feature him for the June edition of
Excellent.
Get Out.
A lot going on. This is the time of year where things really start to break open.
Yeah, I mean, like, even if, you know, hopefully you'll be able to check out some of these places, but just to walk around and explore and grab a bite to eat, see what's happening around town. There's a ton of things. And I would even say, you know, like North Queen Street, you might be able to get into the Keppel building up there by the PA Guild. Those places are open here and there for First Friday. There's no really way of telling what's going to happen up there, but it's cool to kind of wander around in there as well.
Well, it's jam-packed as always. Thanks for the update and pointing us in the direction of at least these four items. But as you mentioned, it's time to just get out and explore the whole town on First Friday.
Tons of happening.
We'll catch you next month. Thanks, Steve.
All right, thanks.
You can find Steve Carlson on Facebook and Twitter. Steve is also a contributor to our blog at woodstovehouse.com. And you can learn more about Creative Works of Lancaster at their website, creativelancaster.org. Steve will be back next month with another look at Lancaster's First Friday. It's time once again for Playgrounds. Coming up on May 3rd and 4th during Lancaster's Spring Art Walk weekend, Woodstove House presents Playgrounds, Theater on Site. Produced by Steve Carlson, this exciting theater project will feature three brand new 15-minute plays staged at three outdoor locations in Lancaster City. The locations are the St. James Episcopal Church Cemetery, Binns Park, and Market Street, just outside of Lancaster's Central Market. At three different times over the weekend, the mobile audience will gather at the first location to watch the first play, then move as a group to the second location to watch the second play, and finally arrive at the third location to watch the final play. All three plays, written by local playwrights Eric Goldstein, Amanda Kemp, and John Rohrkemper, are brand new and were written specifically for these Lancaster City locations. Playgrounds is free and open to the public, but you can help make it happen with a donation through our Kickstarter campaign up until April 22nd. Visit woodstovehouse.com and click the banner in the top right corner of the page for more info. And don't miss Playgrounds, Theater on Site, Saturday, May 3rd and Sunday, May 4th for this year's Lancaster Spring Art Walk. Playgrounds is brought to you in part by Two Dudes Painting in Lancaster. Find them online at twodudes.com. On the program today, we are talking about National Poetry Month. That happens every year in April. National Poetry Month is a month-long national celebration of poetry. It was established by the Academy of American Poets back in 1996. So joining me on the program today are a few guests, but we're going to start with the folks from the Triangle. Tyler and Aaron, welcome back to Around the Wood Stove.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
It's great to talk to you guys, especially in the context of National Poetry Month, because that's like right where you are, right? That's what you do. You cover the literary world in Central PA, York, Lancaster, Harrisburg. What does National Poetry Month mean to you, and how have you celebrated it or participated in it over the years?
I've known April to be National Poetry Month ever since, I guess, high school.
Right.
You would often see English teachers tailoring their curriculum so that April kind of aligned with their poetry unit, or if they're going to be talking about poets, it would kind of be during April. I remember learning to recite poems in April in eighth grade. Teachers were involved in that way. Since I've been in college, I've participated in running the Poetry Aloud reading series, which is something that happens twice a year. It happens once in the spring and once in the fall.
Okay.
And I've helped to run that through the Creative Writers Guild in conjunction with Millersville University and the Franklin Marshall Writers House. We do it at the Ware Center. It usually happens in April, and then it also happens in September or October. So April is always big because it's National Poetry Month. It's First Friday. It's like this big event. So
I would say, like, I usually know it's National Poetry Month because the American Library Association sends out a free poetry poster in their magazine. So whenever I get that, I'm like, oh yeah, it's National Poetry Month.
It works. That's exactly why they do that.
Yeah, it's like bingo, light bulb. And so then I just start, like, then my attention is aroused and I just see, like, poetry stuff everywhere after that. But yeah, libraries do a lot of stuff for National Poetry Month, like displays. I remember when I was in school, like, we would have bulletin board exhibits about Poetry Month and stuff like that.
So since Central Pennsylvania is your focus, particularly these three cities, Harrisburg, Lancaster, and York, what can you tell us about National Poetry Month in relation to what's happening in this area?
There's definitely a lot going on. One of the projects we've been working on is putting together a calendar of April poetry and other literary events for 2014. And we wanted to try to compile a list to show how many things were happening. And we came up with, you know, over 30 things are happening in the month of April.
Wow.
In Lancaster, York, and Harrisburg. So we just wanted to kind of use this month to spread awareness about poetry and literary events that are happening. So we're trying to share the calendar with anyone who might be interested, see if they'll come out and check out an event to learn more.
And how can people access this information that you've collected?
We have on our website, you can find a PDF for it. We've made a post that has a PDF in it. Where you can click the link and just print it out yourself. And we also have it kind of, it's under projects on our website. Under the projects tab, you can find that we made this specific calendar that is kind of made as a poster, and you can print that out. At the Triangle, we, year around, we keep a detailed calendar on our website of all of the events that are going on, you know, every month. So you can find that online calendar at any point.
Right.
But we did this as sort of a poster and like a handout thing so that to kind of spread the word more than just like online. So we have like these things up in coffee shops, venues, anywhere where literary stuff might be happening. We've been putting them up in the windows and then making paper handouts of the calendar as well.
That's great.
So it's just kind of a special focus.
People. I'll link up to it on the show post for this episode as well.
Okay.
So folks can go there and then link right through to yours where that poster is. So let's highlight a few of these events. Let's talk about some of the things. I know you probably won't be able to cover all 30.
No.
Let's just pick a few and do a little highlight here.
All right, well, I'll repeat myself a little bit and just hit the Poetry Aloud event, which is happening on the first Friday of April. So it's Friday the 4th. And Poetry Aloud, as I said, is a twice yearly kind of big poetry reading that we put on in conjunction with Millersville, the Creative Writers Guild at Millersville, the Franklin Marshall Writers House, and the Ware Center. And the Triangle's kind of there organizing all of that. That is on April 4th with John Sands, who is a spoken word poet from New York City. So we got him to come down, and also local poet and professor at FNM, Amanda Kemp, will also be featured.
Excellent.
So those two will both do featured length performances, and then there's an open reading beforehand. So I'm currently sort of promoting, really pushing and promoting for that because it's going to be a big event. You know, poetry readings typically have about anywhere from, you know, 10 to like maybe 30, 40, 50 people there. But in the past, Poetry Aloud has had like upwards of like 200 to 250 people.
Yeah, so that's a big deal.
So yeah, and it's free, which is really great. The Ware Center lets us do it there for free because we bring people into the center and they're learning, you know, maybe seeing, you know, bringing in a crowd maybe that hasn't been there before, or maybe some younger people. We really connect well with students and like high school students as well because of the spoken word aspect to the poetry, which is a something we look forward to every.
So that's this first Friday then, April 4th. Yep. What time does it get started?
It gets started at 6:30, and it'll go till about 8:30, maybe not much later than 8:30, but about 6:30, yeah.
And you can drop in, like you can come and go for that. You can just wander by if you want to hear.
Yeah, since it's free, you can just stop in and hear something or stay.
What else do you have coming up?
Well, there's the Franklin and Marshall College 2014 Emerging Writers Festival. That's April 9th through 12th, and they have a whole variety of authors coming and workshops and like craft talks. So that's going to be really exciting. On April 8th, we have in Harrisburg, actually at the Makespace, there's a storytelling event. And we've included other things on the calendar, not just poetry events. So this is more of kind of like flash fiction storytelling, a little bit different than poetry, but something, it's unique.
And when is that event?
That is April 8th. It's a Tuesday night. It's at the Makespace in Harrisburg, which is a really cool little arts venue where there's some artists and residents living there. And then they're also doing events in the sort of the living room. It's basically a house that's been turned into an like
I've seen concerts there.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place.
Very
we
cool.
Just recently spoke with the Liz Larrabee, who is like one of the founders of it, and we did an interview with her. So We're really excited about that space. We kind of just discovered it. Somehow we didn't know about it. So we're really excited. And they do these storytelling nights once a month.
That's
so
excellent.
So mm-hmm. it's great. It's unique because not a lot of places are doing storytelling nights. A lot of places are doing poetry readings. And poetry is great, but this is like focuses more on like get up and tell a story, you know?
So. Right. Yeah. And we're going to actually try to experiment doing a story slam, like a poetry slam, but a story slam in September. So more information about that will be forthcoming.
We also have on April 17th, which is a Thursday night, there's we as the Triangle are sort of bringing back a reading series that was happening at Dog Star. It would happen once a month on the second Wednesday, I believe, of the month. That happened for about a year and a half since Dog Star changed locations to Lemon Street.
Mm-hmm.
But then in December, they sort of stopped doing the reading series because Jeff Rath, who sort of leads the series, he's a poet, he just decided he couldn't handle like doing the reading series anymore. So for the last couple of months, it hasn't been happening. So we're kind of jump-starting that again with this reading on April 17th, which is a Thursday. But it's with Michael Cesarnecki, who is a poet and storyteller, and he writes memoir as well. He's a really great performer, so he's going to be featured, and there'll be an open reading before that. And then every other month after April, we will be having a reading series there, a reading there to try to like bring back that series. So we're calling it the Fear No Lit reading series because that's kind of our
tagline.
Yeah, but Jeff is that, you know, I'm doing it with Jeff. He's kind of like saying you find the axe and we'll give you the space. So it's good because I think a lot of people really like those readings. So.
I mean, there's definitely stuff that happens every week as well, especially in Harrisburg. The Almost Uptown Poetry Cartel at the Midtown Scholar, they meet every Thursday night. So they will have an open reading and then a featured reader, or just an open reading if there's no feature. But that's every single week in April and every other month.
Yeah, that's every Thursday all the time.
Ever.
Yeah and forever.
Yeah, we've highlighted them on our website before because Christian Thede, who runs those, is, you know, he's got a great work ethic. He's doing a reading every week, which most people are doing like one a month. So he's in there doing it every week at the Midtown Scholar. So of course through April they're doing that as well. But that's a thing that is happening all the time.
And it's dramatically like, you know, when you think about 12 a year and then you think about 52 a year, like, you know,
and finding featured readers for that and getting people to, you know, permitting to come out. So we've been there a few times in the past year. We actually were featured there last month and did a poetry reading. So
that's great.
Yeah, it was really great.
And we can find out all of this information, right, at the Triangle's website, which is?
TheTrianglePA.com. Yep. And the back of this calendar has more information about each one of those events. And then, you know, if you click on any of those events on the calendar on our page, it'll give you all the details. So it'll just say the title, but if you click the title, it'll say like the time, how much it costs, the website, stuff like that.
That's excellent. I really appreciate what you guys do, keeping everybody informed on what's happening. It was definitely something that was needed, and you're serving a, you know, really great purpose. So
thank you.
Keep up the good work.
I just wanted to add, like, we won't be at all of these events, but we'll be at a lot of them, and we would love to meet listeners and talk to you about poetry and the Triangle. So please say hello if you see us.
Yeah.
If you, and fear no lit.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't fear the lit. Thing.
Well, thanks for checking in.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Joining me on the program today is Dinah Savage from here in Lancaster, my first poet laureate on the program. Dinah was the poet laureate for Lancaster 2010 through 2012. She's also an award-winning feature, travel, food, fitness, and garden writer based right here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I'd like to start with your thoughts on National Poetry Month. From a professional writer's perspective, what does National Poetry Month mean to you?
Well, I think like many of these sort of designated holidays, that you perhaps wish that it's something that you always, you know, kept in your mind.
Sure.
But it is nice having a whole month devoted to a concept rather than just a day. And I think April is an appropriate time because it's almost as if we're at this moment coming out of a creative cave that we've been hibernating in, and whatever has been kind of gestating inside of us over the winter is ready to emerge. So April's a good choice of month. But I think that there are so many opportunities once you have a designated month to celebrate. And I think, you know, in Lancaster, regionally, nationally, so many people are embracing the month in different ways, from students maybe reading poems over loudspeakers in school for their morning announcements, to lots of poetry readings. We have our big spoken word festival at the end of the month that's happening. Or just, hey, it's a great month to find a favorite book of poems and curl up and read it and let your mind just explode.
Hopefully with the windows open.
Exactly.
I know I was talking to Aaron and Tyler from The Triangle, and there just seems to be a real healthy amount of poetry and literary events happening for the month in this area. So it feels like it's pretty vibrant here.
Oh, yes, yes. It was... when I first moved to this area in 90, I think that's what was a lovely thing for me, growing up somewhere that didn't have a vibrant art community, and discovering it here was just so fantastic for me as a writer. And being in a community really helps you grow your art.
Sure.
And that's just such a wonderful, wonderful feeling to know that there are other like-minded, inspired people to push you.
Let's shift gears a little bit to some of the things that you've done personally. So you have a new book that just came out in the fall of 2013 called Traces.
Yes.
Now, according to your bio, this is your debut collection, but I know you've been writing for a long time.
Well, I have been writing for a long time. It it took the nudging of my publisher to kind of force me to put it all together in a book. And I, as you may know, I've been a journalist for more than 20 years, and really it's deadlines that speak to me. So having Lee Hinton tell me that I had scheduled me for a reading to debut my book, and I said, "What book?" And he said, "Exactly, get busy," was the perfect way to get me working.
So you're motivated by the deadline.
Pretty much, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the differences, the contrast between your work in journalism and your work creatively, writing poetry and things like that. How do you feel those two types of writing have played out for you over these years?
Well, one informs the other in really wonderful ways. As a journalist, having the lyrical, poetic sensibility to bring that to stories, I think is just a wonderful gift and makes things come alive for the reader. As a journalist, having the option of being able to respond to an event or a situation in two ways, being able to write the news story for Deadline, in that, you know, objective journalistic way that is required, but then also being able to have a human response and maybe record that same event in a poetic way later. And so, as an example of that, I'll just share. This is what I share with students a lot. When I would be writing for Deadline, I would have to, you know, get my story done. I worked for the morning paper at that time, and my story would have to be filed by 11 o'clock in the evening. Well, I was, you know, kind of wired at that point. And if it was a particularly emotional, traumatic story, you know, there was a residual emotion that I hadn't gotten rid of in the news story. So having the outlet of then being able to stay at my news desk and write a poem or in response to that really felt like I had satisfied, you know, my soul at the same time as doing my job.
Wow, that's fascinating. I never would have thought, you know, I never would have pictured that. after submitting a story to deadline at night, to stop and actually take that moment to express yourself the other way.
Well,
it's a great balance.
There'd be a lot of leftoverness that couldn't be included in a news story, and so it was nice to have that outlet.
So speaking of poetry, I mentioned earlier that you were the Lancaster Poet Laureate.
Yes.
Now, I hear that term, and I know a lot of folks hear that title, but many people, including myself, don't really know exactly what that is. Can you tell me what it means to be a Poet Laureate for a city?
Well, I think it's just a lovely honor for a city to bestow. And I think it also says something about a city to have one. A city who has a poet laureate really is interested in the arts and honoring that sort of sensibility of looking at life. And I'm so grateful for not only the county commissioners for creating this position, but also for the Lancaster Literary Guild for kind of spearheading and creating the post. Barbara Strasco was the first poet laureate. I was second. Chris Longenecker is the current poet laureate, and they're in the midst of looking for who's next. So,
is it a 2-year term?
It is. So hopefully some of your listeners who are thinking of applying might want to apply for the post.
So what do you do? Like, tell me what that responsibility is.
Well, what's lovely is that it. It's a bit open-ended and speaks to the interests of the poets who have that post. So, for instance, Barb was a teacher in the city schools for a long time. She used that post as a way to further develop programming in the schools. For me, I'm more of a communicator. I loved going out and speaking to residents of nursing homes, lots of other groups, and maybe starting a little bit of what Tyler and Aaron are much in a much more lovely way. Continuing on, I put together a website, Lancaster Poetry, and really tried to start that list of all the events that are going on and make that a clearinghouse and a place to showcase poets. And then, Chris is out there doing her work with a lot of community groups as well. So it's kind of a way to promote poetry and maybe show its relevance to people's lives.
Let's talk about the Spoken Word Festival.
Sure.
This is an event that you co-direct, and this is later in April, right?
At the end of the month, the last weekend of April.
So as a way to sort of wrap up National Poetry Month, give us the details about the festival.
Well, the seed of it came from Gary and Mary Smith of the Theater of the Seventh Sister 12 years ago, and they asked myself and Marie Wanger, who's a storyteller, to put together a festival celebrating the spoken word. We're still here 12 years later.
That's great.
Which is fantastic. We solicit work from writers in the region. And as you may know, or some of your listeners may know, a lot of times poets put words to paper, but maybe aren't making it, speaking it, making it, kind of putting those words out in the world. And just like your listeners are hearing radio and that connection with human voice, mm-hmm. something different happens when you hear people speak words, and those words sort of hang in a physical space around you. And so that's what we were curious about, what that would look like. And so sometimes it takes a little coaxing for some writers who might not be used to being on a stage and inhabiting a poem with their body in physical space. But something really changes in a poem or in a story performing in that way. And I think if you were to talk to any of the poets who have participated in that event, they can talk about the growth that they've had in their own writing just by placing it in a physical space like that. When we put the show together, we first start out selecting a lot of the poems that come in as submissions, kind of laying them all out on the floor, and then looking for ways that particular poems may speak to other poems, or how a series of poems might create an arc or a story. So it's really a, I wouldn't say sort of, you know, choreographed show, but it's put together in a way that makes a particular sense to Marie and I. Uh-huh. I don't know if the audience will always feel it, but we...
So you're not just lining people up?
No. It's these poems are somehow, we see them in conversation each other, or moving the audience in a particular direction. And that's really exciting, I think, for the poets as well, because they submit and they don't know how the show is going to come together and evolve. And that is... that's just really exciting to see how it all manifests at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds very interesting. Yeah. And where will the festival be taking place this year?
So it's kind of a movable feast. We were at the Ware Center last year. This year, we are going to be on the campus. We're going to be in Lititz this year on the campus of Linden Hall. So we'll be in their theater. So it should be interesting.
And the dates for the festival?
It'll be the evening of the 26th at 7 o'clock and the afternoon of the 27th, Sunday, at 2.
Well, that sounds really, really cool. And I'll link up to details for the festival on the show post for the podcast episode.
Great.
Thanks so much for taking a few minutes to share some of your experiences and talk a little bit about National Poetry Month. I really enjoyed chatting with you about this.
Great. Thank you for having me.
You bet. You can find out more about today's program by visiting the show post at our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of the program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced by the Wood Stove House and Triforce Studios in Lancaster, PA. Check out Triforce online at triforceproaudio.com and find us online at woodstovehouse.com.